Hey, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, Rodney Michaels, who speaks internationally about finding happiness and inner peace. Now, before the break, we were talking about what to do with that person who's chronically late, and Rodney gave some good language choices to use, maybe the first time and the second time. And then we were getting some messages from from our sound engineer, Chris, the station owner, who said, Rodney is tough. And then he then explained that he's feeling a little bit guilty and shameful. As a result, he kind of reminded him of a school teacher kind of reprimanding him for being late from class. And Rodney, you had some comments on that.
Well, my comment was that certainly wasn't in the language and the intention behind it, because I wasn't comparing, and I wasn't saying you should, and I wasn't blaming him for my bad feelings, and I wasn't saying you're rotten because you're late.
Right.
Okay, so I wasn't doing any of those four things that we talked about in the first segment.
Right.
I was offering another way to simply ask for what you need
right.
in order for the meeting to go well.
Right.
However, the thing you have to remember, even when you take charge of your own language, is that the other person will still be probably running their own internal guilt and shame. So all you're doing by changing your language is taking off the external layer of it. But until we as individuals know how to deal with our own internally generated guilt and shame, you're going to feel it no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so I think the important thing to recognize is that, you know, this may still happen. People may feel, you know, less than as a result of you saying what you want and need. But I think it's where, on a spiritual level, it's your intention is not to do that, right? Whereas before, the intention is sort of unconsciously to kind of harm, you know what I mean?
It's not to harm the other person so much as it is to get them to change so you don't have to feel bad. And fundamentally, mental health and spiritual health have to do with taking responsibility for your own emotional and mental and psychological
right.
and spiritual state.
Right. So in that way, so if I actually kind of manipulate you, then I don't have to feel bad.
Right. If you're successful. Which many people are.
Right.
Right. Until you know how to protect yourself from guilt and shame that other people are laying on you, it works. That's why it's still around. It's a very effective tool, guilt and shame, at helping people get what they want.
But recognize spiritually that it's because your needs aren't being met, and for you, instead of actually to kind of guilt and shame someone to actually say what you want. I mean, it's a very different thing energetically.
It's a very different thing. Energetically, it's different. The intention is different. It's good psychology and good emotional balance to be able to take care of your own emotional needs. Spiritually, what it actually does is develop compassion so that you don't really want to guilt and shame people anymore.
Yeah. Right?
And you're aware when you want to and you decide, you make a choice out of compassion not to follow that avenue, which for all of us is a pretty well-worn neural pathway in the brain.
Well, so then maybe you don't say anything, because this is another thing we do with it. We stuff it down. The person's late for the third time, and they just, you say, okay.
Well, can we do the third scenario?
Let's do the third scenario. Okay, so the scenario that we painted in the previous segment was what you say when the person's late the first time, and then they're late the second time, and we're just giving the three strikes, you're out. But, you know, this is completely up to you how many times you want to repeat the message. It could be 30 times, right?
Could be your whole lifetime.
Could be whole lifetime. You tell your spouse, you're late again. Okay, so let's say that this is the third time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're supposed to be at a meeting, and I'm late yet again. And this time I'm 10 minutes late. So I'm a little bit better. I'm getting better. I used to be 15 minutes late. I'm now 10 minutes late. Oh, Rodney, I'm so, so sorry I'm late. The traffic was just awful.
You know what, CJ, I really appreciate that. But here's the thing, is that I really don't want to have to be waiting for you anymore, because waiting is, for me, a very difficult place to be. And when you're late, it really triggers that. And then I have to deal with all of that in a way that makes my, our connection afterwards really difficult. So what I'd like to do is just not do that anymore. So I don't like to wait. And I appreciate that it's really hard for you to be on time. And I just don't want to have to go through that anymore. So I guess we're just not going to meet. You know, I mean, I really appreciate it.
So you just don't want to meet anymore?
It's not about you. It's that I don't like waiting. And until I get that cleaned up in myself, it's really not in my best interest. Because in all honesty, I'm really not capable right now of letting you be who you are, which is somebody who's late. Mm. So I'm sorry. But that's really, I'm trying to take care of myself here. Until I learn this, I really can't let you be who you are. Mm. And that's not a very loving way to have a connection.
Do you still want to have coffee?
Okay, that's like an extreme example of right. me taking responsibility for what bothers me about you being late.
Right.
Which has not been communicated in any way. Now, right. if I were going to blame you, I might say, I hate waiting. How dare you keep me waiting? You're such a bad person for doing that. See, I could have done that earlier.
Right.
But I never even mentioned waiting because I was trying to be like, it's my thing. It's not
right.
yours.
Right. Right.
I could, your
so
thing is
what's
being
a compassionate
late.
Response then? So let's say that you're a compassionate person and spiritually developed. What would be another response aside from even saying anything? And not stuffing it down. We're not talking about stuffing it down and going like, I'm just going to be really resentful and, you know, get peevish now during this whole meeting. What's a compassionate way of dealing with it?
A compassionate way of dealing with
this person being late all the time.
I think the most compassionate way to deal with it is to be honest about what it's doing for me. I have
okay.
to deal with myself. When you're late, I have to deal with me, and it happens to be a place that's a big button pusher for me. Mm. So until I can do it well, right, I can't let you be who you are, and I end up feeling really unhappy with
that. Isn't
that
interesting? Because I thought about compassion about the other person, but you're thinking about being compassionate to yourself.
Well,
too, right?
And to
both,
the other person,
right?
I can't let you be who you are.
Right.
I mean, what else is relationship really about?
But yeah, that's true.
Learning how to let everybody be who they are, because in fact, you can't be anybody else but who you are.
Yeah.
And if you're going to change and become a person who's on time, you're going to do that. Nothing I'm going to say is going to make that different.
Yeah.
Other than, I can tell you I don't like it, but that's not going to make you change.
You're going to be ending coffees all over.
Yeah.
Actually,
let me just add, now I bring a book. And I've dealt with my waiting button. It no longer gets pushed, and I'm happy, so you can be late with me. It's okay.
Okay. You've even had, that's why I'm saying, even a more compassionate response is like, I accept who you are. I know you're going to be late.
Right.
Because it presses my buttons, I'm going to read so that I can actually honor
right.
what I need, which is to read and, you know, be by myself or whatever, and then also honor who you're going to be, which is a late person.
I have numerous friends that I've had for many years that I've had to stop seeing for long periods of time simply because I got tired of guilting and shaming them for being who they were.
Yeah.
And I didn't like me when I did it.
Mm.
So I just said, I need time. I can't let you be who you are. When they'd call, I'd say, you know, I'd love to see you, but I can't let you be who you are today.
Yeah.
See if we can do it later. And then, now eventually I can.
Look, Chris is sending us frowny faces.
He doesn't like me. Chris doesn't, he's RC, he's the station manager. He's not happy with what I'm saying.
I understand it. I do understand it because in a spiritual level, it is being the most compassionate to yourself and the other person because you aren't accepting them,
the
right?
The thing that people think about being spiritual is you're suddenly this nice person who lets everybody be who
Stomp
they are.
Stomp all over you, right? That's not what spiritual is because
no,
I'm never going to be spiritual then.
If I can really love you the way you are, that's like the highest compliment I can pay to you. It's the deepest respect and the highest form of love, in my opinion, is
yeah.
to let you be who you are. To do that is going to require me to do quite a bit of changing because
yeah.
I have a lot of values and things that you're not fulfilling. So what have I been taught to do? I've been taught to blame, compare, manipulate, tell you that you're not okay because you're doing that, and try everything within my power to get you to be different.
Yeah.
Now, when you are both working to become, you know, a more conscious, aware person, and you're willing to take responsibility for what you feel, you can talk through this stuff.
Yeah,
and you don't
true.
Have to have these kinds of conversations that I'm speaking here.
Yeah, and I think actually even if you, in that, if it were really a natural dialogue, I'd be like, I'm sorry that you feel that way.
Yes.
What can I do different? I mean, that would really, yes. I think if you had that conversation with me really and we had the time, there would be a helpful conversation that would ensue after.
This allows a relationship to grow over time. That's what you're doing. You're letting it grow over time when you can have this kind of honest dialogue.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned to you the book Fierce Conversations. It's a way to help you understand how to talk about tough things.
Yeah.
And these are one of those things that's little, but if you don't attend to it, it becomes a big thing and then it's a tough conversation.
Yeah. So really what we were talking about was, we talked in the first segment on, you know, how do you define guilt and shame? We then talked about how are you aware when you're guilting and shaming each other? And now this was just about giving you an example, at the very end, an example of how to actually have language choices that are compassionate, loving, and then to yourself and the other person. So these are all parts of really shifting your behavior to a different way. And also, I think one of the things that I got mostly out of that segment is the spiritual concept, because I am I'm guilty. Guilty of thinking because you're spiritual, you're supposed to be nice and above it all. But that's not necessarily true.
That's not practical spirituality.
Yeah.
It's not practical if you think that's spirituality in the world because it doesn't work. Practical spirituality is really being able to let people be who they are. It doesn't mean you let them walk all over you. You still have to set your boundaries and, you know, take care of yourself within that context. So it's paradoxical, which is, of course, my thing, right?
Right.
That's what I'm most known for, is how to help people live with paradox, which is one of these things we're talking about. How do you be yourself and let somebody else be yourself?
Yeah.
That's the question.
So great information, Ragini. Ragini Michaels, who speaks internationally about finding happiness and inner peace, on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. Up next, wrapping it all together.